Democratic Party have lied to us about everything. They've lied about being the party of the middle class. They've lied about being the party of peace. This is a cadre of criminals and losers and spoiled children of affluent parents. These are people who were more concerned about looking like they were doing something for the American people than actually doing things for the American people.
Any Democrats you admire out there right now?
Democrats I respect.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, Bobby Kennedy I respect. Tulsi Gabbard.
Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling?
Because, like, they're on our team now because you guys kicked out, like, your best people. It's like the people that were into – this is a great point, though, Governor.
It is.
Is that Bobby Kennedy was a heterodox opinion on a thing that a lot of people were concerned about. Get him out! He's an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard, who is an anti-war. Get her out! She's a Russian agent.
Yeah.
You guys see how you have an unhealthy purification process where eventually you're left with just a 31% approval rating and a bunch of people that are talking to each other. And meanwhile, we're the ones that have Democrats in our cabinet winning the electoral majority vote, because there needs to be said, if Democrats are serious about being a majority party ever again, look at that ideological diversity.
Y'all were supposed to be the party of free speech, the party of women's rights. You have immolated all of those things. And then, as if enough weren't enough, you then decide that you're going to die on the hill of USAID, a government audit. You're trying to prevent a government audit because some of you really are trying to stay out of prison. We see the game now.
We will not shut up. We will stand up. We will speak up. We will rise up.
Y'all been out here telling us that the game was rigged against certain people. Well, now we found out who the people that were rigging the game were. Congratulations. Y'all are never going to win another political race ever again. Not if I can help it.
The crimes of the Democratic Party and the Labor Party in England and other key globalist parties are so bad that they will extinct themselves when this comes out. No one will want to be associated with them. And Trump's task force on election integrity is going to go out now. I mean, if you think Trump mitigated it with $200 million of money you donated to put tens of thousands of lawyers and experts and computer experts at all the polls everywhere to be there in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Georgia and Arizona when at midnight, here come the trucks without estate plates, and the lawyers are all waiting. They all had to file suits and fight just to even be there this time. But they were there at the election counting area with the court orders. Sorry, you can't put up paper over the windows. You can't kick us out of the building.
We need to set the example for the whole world that we have the most secure elections in history, starting with that Save America Act. Shame on you, all you Republicans and Democrats sitting out there and don't realize that we, the people, want to have citizens vote in our elections, not illegals. It's a pretty easy concept. You need two forms of ID to shovel snow in socialist New York. You should have a proof of that you live here to vote in our sacred elections.
California's not blue. New York's not blue. Nowhere is.
Again, 56% overall. I have an extremely or very proud of the country. It's 29% among Democrats. It's 90% among Republicans. Look at that staggering gap between the parties.
It's no longer the overall electorate that doesn't like Chuck Schumer. Look at this change among Democrats themselves. Chuck Schumer's net favorable rating with Dems now versus the last time Democrats were going for that Senate majority. In early 2020, look at this. Chuck Schumer was 40 points above water, very much on the positive side of the ledger with Democrats. Look at this. Look at this change. This is nuts. Johnny B. off on the side going, my goodness gracious. Now he's a point underwater with Democrats.
No one likes them for decades. They steal elections. And once a place goes blue, it never goes back. Why is that? And also people then give up and say voting doesn't work, which then helps even more. They've only got so much they can steal. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. It is Monday afternoon, the 29th of June, 2026. Hope everybody's doing well. We, of course, have a whole weekend's worth of news to go over, including massive decisions by the Supreme Court, developments in the Iran war, as well as just general politics and culture, of course, to go through, and a lot of videos to get to as well, including some rather, personally, I find them disheartening videos from the big state fair that Donald Trump is holding in Washington, D.C. And I feel like it in a lot of ways, like the reflecting pond, is symbolic of our entire situation. And I'm completely torn between a feeling of just like indescribable sadness of what is going away and the fact that we're losing it without even putting up a fight, while at the same time still seeing the dying ember and just wanting to breathe life back into it. And I spent this whole weekend feeling this way a little bit. I just did totally disconnect and was doing a bunch of yard work, but I was driving through small town Texas, and it still exists. Like, America's still out there. There are still little pockets of this country that are just eye-wateringly beautiful. American flags hanging up everywhere. Kids going to the rodeo. Like, it's still out there. And it's just this bizarre feeling of just like, do y'all get what's being done to you? Like, do you get that without a change in trajectory, just like year over year, these celebrations of American history and heritage and culture, they're just going to get a little bit less exciting, a little bit less care put into it, just bit by bit, incrementally, until it's just gone, until it's just not even remembered. So I've just, this whole weekend, I don't know, I was just like plagued by this feeling of just, you know, being in the store and seeing a group of people and just being like, wow, look at these beautiful people going to a lake or something. They're all carrying their like rubber, you know, floaties and stuff. And it's just like, Americana, it's beautiful. And then I just feel this like shadow behind me, this just like great darkening cloud coming over all of it. And I'm just like, do they even know? Because right now it's like there's more than enough. If I had a magic scepter, if I had a brain control device, it's like the people of America, the wealth of America, the prosperity, the capability, like we've got plenty. We've got more than enough expertise, and like there's nothing actually stopping us from just reclaiming our country and just running it correctly. But just nobody knows. Just nobody is doing that. And every year that goes by, it's going to be that little bit harder to reclaim what we're losing. And it's just, we're just in this decline, this declining spiral. And all it takes to get us out of this is awareness. That's it. That's all it takes. It just takes a modicum of awareness for the average person. And I've said it a million times, just understand that things don't just happen. Things don't just occur like big you know, population changes, whatever it is. This is being done to you. It's being done on purpose. It's being done by design. You are under attack. And I know it sucks because, you know, what is more fun than fighting the New World Order? Going and playing on a lake, going and laying out by the river, doing some fishing with your kids. Of course, that is the preferable way to spend your afternoon. The problem is your enemies aren't hanging out on the lake. Your enemies aren't teaching their kids to fish. Your enemies are diabolically laboring every hour of the day to destroy everything good in the world. So again, what this little rant of mine is about is, of course, the 250th anniversary of America and these little pockets of patriotism that you find around the country and the understanding that it's all being taken away, and it would be so easy to keep and preserve and even expand and accelerate classic American beliefs, the foundational mindset that we try to champion here. It's just up to y'all, I guess. I guess it's entirely up to y'all. We can start off with some of these videos. Clip number two here. This was posted. The Trump freak show baptizing Americans under a massive Israeli flag and a menorah. Just one little extra bit to this. And I don't even know really how to cover this. So there you see the above ground pool that I guess they're baptizing people in. Theoretically, there don't seem to be any actual people there. So that would be a bit of a wrinkle in the plan. But it's kind of like, I know Trump mentioned, you know, we were going to do a big 250th thing. Like at the beginning of his administration, it seemed like the world was laid out in front of us like a delicious feast. It seemed like we had a year and a half about to get everything in order. And the assumption was, okay, this time next year, right, in 2025, we were looking around July 4th being like, man, in 1 year, the deportations will be done. The Antifa will be rounded up. Like all of these things have been plaguing us. And for 4 years, were deliberately inflicted on us on purpose in an attempt to destroy our country. But we won and we got it back. And now comes the counteroffensive. Then that counteroffensive just never arrived. And the things that we expected Trump to do just never happened. So, you know, looking back at the beginning of the Trump administration, I was very much looking forward to the 250th year celebration, July 4th. It would have been like a little bit less than halfway through Trump's second administration. So, you know, I was really looking forward to this big national carnival where, you know, finally we could just put all the woke crap to rest and celebrate in a patriotic way. And things just went off the rails. They just kept going further and farther off the rails. Obviously, the war in Iran, the Epstein files were two major ones, but I think the lack of deportations, maybe even higher on the list in terms of real, you know, blatant abandonment of his campaign promises. And so I guess that's what it is. You know, I guess they say inside of every cynic is a disappointed optimist. I guess that's the feeling that I'm feeling, is looking around and going, imagine what this could be. Imagine what this could have been. Imagine a different timeline, a timeline where Donald Trump just hits the ground running, puts his nose to the grindstone, and just does what he promised to do. And here we would be in that other timeline. We'd be sitting here on the same day. And I wouldn't have had to find out that this 250th carnival was happening because of the post I just showed you. Like, that was the first thing I saw. And it's like, 250th what? There's some sort of fair going on? Like, yeah, I remember him talking about it. And I know there have been some, you know, preparations here or there. But this was supposed to be like a big deal. Like, what I would have expected to happen in my fantasy of a world where Donald Trump does what he says he's going to do, be like, for the last 6 months, you know, every school is having contests to try to make the best decorations, and the best ones would be displayed at the state podium, and it would be a, you know, whole. But that's sort of the thing, isn't it? Is that I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. Not in the way that we're going, not in the trajectory that we're headed. I mean, we showed you videos of the bicentennial, the 1976 celebration. And yeah, you got the impression like this is what everyone was doing at that time. Everybody was doing something about it. Every single business was running specials and having giveaways. Every single school was having, you know, performances and, you know, putting on pageants and all this sort of stuff. And this time it's just, that's not going to happen. And I don't know if it'll ever happen again, because the people that actually are American and celebrate American history are being replaced with people who don't. So are we going to reclaim this? Is that even possible? We've got more videos. In fact, the one I just had y'all pull in, I'm not sure if it's even been put in the machine yet. Yeah, 50 here. Step right up, folks. Witness the end of an empire. So we can go ahead and roll this as B-roll. This is the great 250th celebration. This is the mock-up of the Arc de Triomphe. And it just, it looks like crap. It looks like absolute crap. And this is what I mean as being a symbol, like a symbol of America. It's like, could we not get this done? Could we not make this look actually good? It's sort of the perfect example of America, actually. It looks heroic. It looks triumphant from far away. Yeah, it looks like an empire of power from far away. You get up close, and it turns out the whole thing's patched together with, you know, Tic Tac and super glue. It's crumbling. It hadn't even been up for a day, and it's already coming apart. Big cracks along the seam. I think it matters. I think it matters. Does it matter that much? You know, who cares? It's going up for a few days. It's a little piece of decoration. Like, it just needs to look good from far away for photos. That's all right. But isn't that emblematic of everything in this country? It's just like, how do we do this as cheaply, as quickly as possible to cover the bare minimum? Technically what we're obligated to do, but no more, nothing further, right? No one's going to put extra effort into this. No one's going to go above and beyond. No one's going to, you know, pay for something that's purely symbolic in celebrating America. Where's the utility? How many Haitian children are being fed by this? None? Well, then we're not doing it. And again, it's just this collection of B-roll for our radio listeners. It's just showing the, I guess, cardboard mockery of the Arc de Triomphe, the American version of that. But the whole fairground was like this. It looks empty. I didn't even know what was going on. Like, again, I can just imagine an alternative timeline when it's like, you can't not be there. Like, what do you mean you're not going? Everybody you know is going. You got to sign up now. Like, all the hotel rooms are going to be gone. But like, it's just not happening. It's just not happening because literally half of our country genuinely hates our history. Like, they're not going to celebrate it. They're not going to travel to celebrate it. Certainly, they're not going to be involved in this. Again, it's sad. But it's like, what are you supposed to do? You can't compel people to love this. You can't compel people to participate in this. I mean, I think there are entire states that just chose not to participate. So again, you know, I don't even know if I have anything to add to it. It's just like, this is just our country now. It's just a bunch of people who have nothing in common, don't believe the same things, entire states that just are like quietly quitting the union itself. It's again a very like a modern thing, I guess. Back in the day, it'd be, you know, we are seceding, you know, come and take it. Nowadays, it's just like, yeah, we just decided, yeah, the Supreme Court, like, we just aren't going to do those laws, actually. Actually, we just believe in diversity, so I don't think we're going to follow those laws, actually. And the authorities are just like, well, you were supposed to. It's like, and then that's it. That's like the entire, that is the modern version of, you know, Fort Sumter, basically. It's not, you know, staking, you know, raising the flag of rebellion and, you know, going toe-to-toe to decide what the good course of our history be. It's just like a bunch of people that hate America, despise America, and are like open, you know, pretty open about their strategy of just like, just say what you need to get elected and then get in and do what you really want to do. Like, that's their strategy now. It's working. It's succeeding. It is an effective strategy because people aren't paying attention. And they see a commercial with somebody that's just like, I want to help working families. And they're just like, great, I'm a working family. I'll vote for that person. Meanwhile, the person behind the scenes is a literal raging communist that despises you and wants to set your children on fire. And like, I'm not even exaggerating. That's the person you're voting for because they literally just said like, I want to help you. And you're just like, oh, OK, great. Great. Here's my kids. Here you go. Thanks for help. Why are they burning? My kids are burning now. Darn. Darn it. I guess I better vote for her again. I don't get it. I don't understand what's compelling people, but you can look at the fairgrounds and basically see what the end result of the last 50 years of the new society, the total recreation, reimagining of human life itself. It's been an abysmal failure. It's time to go back. It's time to start over again. And we'll get into all the stuff that has occurred recently. We'll get into the Supreme Court decisions and the war and all of that crazy nonsense that's occurred. But I genuinely have kind of like a hard time really getting into all this stuff because it's just the same thing over and over. It really is just the exact same thing over and over and over again. One Supreme Court decision that we just, you know, talked about last week, and this is the thing, like I talked about all this stuff last week, but one of the court decisions was removing temporary protected status, and we explained ad nauseum the definition of the word temporary. And then over the weekend, Mark Wayne Mullen, head of the DHS, basically says, yeah, but the TPS people can actually, you know, they can actually apply now for permanent status. And so you can take what I said on Friday about like the suffering and the effort and the energy that goes into getting a case all the way up to their Supreme Court. And I was expressing frustration in the fact that we get all the way to the Supreme Court. We fight all of these battles. We win every single battle all the way up to the Supreme Court. We win in the Supreme Court. They decide in our favor and then just nothing happens. The people who are violating the order of the Supreme Court continue to violate it. There is no enforcement mechanism to make them comport themselves with the dictates of the highest court in the land. So it almost doesn't matter. This is worse. This is worse because this is the Republicans, the native heritage Americans, fighting desperately through the court system to try to get the, and again, I just like, I don't even want to go over the history, but basically temporary protected status, it was supposed to expire. A random judge stepped in and said, actually, it should go on forever. Complete insanity. They're not even allowed to do this because that was in violation of a earlier Supreme Court decision about nationwide injunctions, why this was even allowed. Regardless, okay, through all the BS, we get it all the way up to the Supreme Court. We win there. They acknowledge the obvious that temporary protected status is temporary and that you can deport illegal aliens. Thank you, highest court in the land, for telling us the sky is blue and water is wet. But okay, fine. We win. We actually succeed. We finally get the legal imperative to do what should have been done a long time ago. And then the Republicans themselves say, actually, we're not even going to do it. We're not even going to enforce it. We're not even going to take advantage of the Supreme Court case that we just spent years forcing through the process. We get the victory and then we don't even do it. You know, it's kind of like whenever Republicans would point to something the Democrats were actively doing at the time. And they're saying, oh, you shouldn't do that because that's starting that's opening up a precedent. You wouldn't like it if we do it. Then they never do the thing. Okay, that happens once. Maybe it's a fluke. The second time that happens, that threat no longer works. It is no longer a restraining mechanism to their ambitions. And it, in fact, only makes you look weaker every time you threaten to do something and not follow through. It's only making things worse. So I don't know how much more I can talk about this, how many different ways there are to express this exact same thing. But the problem here is the Republican Party. Full stop. You've got governors and mayors from Ohio Republicans, and it's like every single time that we achieve a victory, they steal it from us. They abolish it. In every situation, whether it's mail-in ballots, we can't even get the SAVE Act passed. It's not happening. What is the point? What is the point of any of this if we got Republicans into office dominating the Congress and the Senate, and we can't even get just the basic controls? It's not even, it shouldn't even be an option. It's like, if you're going to have votes deciding the course of your country, you have to know those votes are valid. Like, how is this even a conversation? But fine, we go through the whole process, we win. And then, you know, the Republican, there's a phrase somebody's come up with it about it, where it's just basically like they just don't want to be excluded from their country club lunches. That could be it. Maybe they just have a friend that happens to run a successful construction business that relies almost entirely on illegal labor or imported Haitian labor. That is, by the way, you know, made up for by the government. Like, there's a video that's gone viral, and we played it when it first came out, but it's gone sort of viral again recently. And it's a factory worker in Ohio talking about how much he loves Haitians because they'll work for less. And of course, the obvious, you know, response is like, you're literally just bragging about using globally sourced scab labor to undercut your neighbors and give foreigners who hate you jobs at a factory. But it's even worse than that, because the government themselves subsidizes the wages. Every Haitian in Springfield under TPS, temporary protected status, gets at least $1,400 a month in federal benefits. So, yeah, you can hire, it's basically like the government saying, you can hire your neighbor Jim, who's grown up in Ohio and his family's been here for 10 generations, and you can pay him, you know, $18 an hour, or you can hire this person from Haiti, pay them $12 an hour, we'll make up the difference for you, we'll actually give them some on top of it, they'll actually end up better off than Jim later, because we're taxing Jim, taking Jim's money to give to the Somalian so that you can hire the Somalian for lower wages so you can kick Jim out of the workforce. So this is how literally everything is everywhere. And at a certain point, we have to decide whether or not we want to continue to exist as a nation. And if so, we have to elect people whose priority is our continuing existence as a nation, not the GDP. And that is the exact dichotomy that's existing here. I'll show you a video on the other side where, yeah, governors of American states are like, I can't believe you don't want these Haitians here. Haitians who buy houses and pay mortgages and have a car payment. And it's like, you don't, I don't even know if you realize what you're saying. You're literally just like, but money. I know I'm destroying the fabric of your society in a way that is irreparable forever. But the money, though, but I get a little bit more money if I do it. So I guess here we are, stuck at the crossroads. I'll show you that video and more on the other side. We'll talk about the actual effects of the Haitians being forced out of our country. By the way, I got in trouble, folks. I got in trouble because I really did steal one of these hats, and then I got yelled at. So, folks, don't be like me. Don't be a no good, dirty, rotten thief. Be a supporter of the InfoWar by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Get one of these 1776 America 250th birthday hat and wear it guilt-free, knowing you paid not full price, but an extremely affordable price at thealexjonesstore.com.
There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world, out of the 10 million people on this planet. But on the record, what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the second leg of that at alexjoneslive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalist do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. when you say this is forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com that has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, you are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who were already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and to take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever, limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, are out right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on, you know, Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out. I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the InfoWar on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity-fed filter, the highest quality gravity-fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this. And ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in like late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon. And then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in, because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can, and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high quality military grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Back, folks. I got a bunch of videos to go to about what's going on with the Somali community and the Haitian community in places like Springfield, Ohio. Which, the fact that it's Springfield, I just can't help but see the Simpsons. I just can't help but picture the Simpsons and their Springfield. And I think they should remake the entire Simpsons series, but a fifth of the characters should have to be Somali. And they won't actually participate in the hijinks the Simpsons get up to, but, you know, they'll be sort of cloistered at the back of the class. Like every shot of Miss Krabappel's, you know, elementary school, just the last three rows, all the girls should be in headdresses and all the boys should be Somalian. And they should be sort of jabbering at each other in their own language, and the rest of the Springfielders just sort of tolerate and ignore them. I think it could actually add a very interesting dimension to the show. Remember when they thought Apu on The Simpsons was like the greatest racism ever? We've come a long way since then. So I got a lot of videos to show you about all of this. And let's begin back in time. Let's begin at clip number 11 here. This video is from January of 2010. This is Obama's DHS secretary, Janet Napolitano, announcing that she signed the Haitian TPS order. So this was 2010, 16 years ago. Here's her announcing that there would be a moderate increase in Haitian immigrants, but they'll be here temporarily 90 days, maybe something like that. Here we are 16 years later. Here's Janet Napolitano announcing TPS for Haitian migrants in 2010.
Lastly, as has been widely reported yesterday, I signed the order beginning or for the process of TPS status for Haitians already in the United States. This is a kind of an intermediate immigration status that allows those who are here to remain and to work. And as they work, of course, many send remittances back home. This in and of itself is a form of support to Haiti and a form of economic assistance to Haiti. To qualify, you must have been in the United States before January the 12th, the date of the earthquake. It will be good for 18 months from the date of the issuance.
18 months.
So that will be in July of 2011. So for Haitians in the country who were here before the earthquake, we are now opening up the process of TPS, that intermediate immigration status, for you.
So, yes, folks, 18 months. Don't worry, it'll all be over in the summer of 2011. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Haitians that are here to this day are supposedly under temporary protective status because of an earthquake in Haiti 16 years ago. 16 years ago. Now, obviously, attitudes have changed a little bit since that happened. But we showed you a video last week of a congressman named Emmers, Congressman Emmers, and he was going off saying, you're supposed to be nice about these people, but I'm done being nice, basically. I'm not holding back anymore. We don't want these people in our state. They need to get out. They're not assimilating. They're completely incompatible, in fact. This is no good. And it was great. And we played it and said, yeah, he's exactly right. We need to see more people talking like this. Representative Tom Emmer faces backlash for telling Somalis to go the hell back to where they came from. Yeah, a backlash. Here's the issue, though. 11 years ago, Tom Emmer himself completely disregarded and dismissed the very meaningful and accurate concerns that his constituency had about bringing in a bunch of Haitians. So, in fact, this was profiled on NPR, and you sort of read along. They have a article here that is the transcript of the NPR episode. But here's Tom Emmer, who just last week got in hot water for telling Somalis to go the hell back where they came from. Listen to him 11 years ago dismissing his own constituents, saying exactly what has, in the ensuing time, come to pass. Let's watch.
Bobby told me he started freaking out about this exactly 1 year ago. It was in July of 2015 at a town hall meeting in St. Cloud.
I wish all of you guys would give him a big hand here at ACES.
This is Bobby's local congressman, Tom Emmer. They're at the ACES bar in downtown St. Cloud. The room is packed. People are squished in around the bar. This is one of many town halls Emmer does regularly all over the district. And it's going normally, a little awkwardly, till this guy says, I think most of us are here to find out how you feel about assimilation of immigrants. Assimilation of immigrants. The congressman is confused, so the questioner clarifies.
We did not ask for those Somalis. Nobody asked us if we in St. Cloud want those Somalis. And we understand that social groups like the Lutheran Social Service and the Catholic Charities, they're dumping them in areas like St. Cloud. Okay, and so the question is, how many more are coming? We didn't ask for these people. Everybody that you read about is talking about this. So that is a main issue in this city. There is no control. The people have no control over any immigration. The mayor.
Hold on. Let me pause it right there, because again, what that guy said. What is the objection to it? What is the objection to it? He's just like, nobody asked us if we wanted these people here. They've dumped in literally tens of thousands of these people who are not assimilating. This was all the way back in 2011. And the question is, what's wrong with what that guy just said? Because they're about to portray it as if, you know, this guy's calling for a new Holocaust of Haitians this time. And it's like, it's just almost hard to believe that our entire culture is so brainwashed. That's like a very obvious and simple objection like that is completely ignored, dismissed, and actually treated as if it's offensive. When really, literally all he's saying is just like, these people aren't assimilating. Like they're just, it's just a foreign colony in my hometown. I don't like this. I wasn't asked about this, but I'm paying for this. Like this is crazy. This is crazy. Now, in retrospect, the citizens probably should have been a hell of a lot more angry and offended, because this is kind of the thing. Any other group wouldn't even have to make this argument. Any other population, it would have never even happened. But the instant that they objected to it, there would have been no question about it. It would have, you know, long story short, this is an attack against you. This is an attack that they depend on you taking casually. Going, well, look, I'm just, you know, we didn't ask them. I'm just like wondering, you know, when is this going to be enough? Enough? When is enough enough? When are they going to stop coming? When are they going to go home? Like, I just want to know. What we now know is the correct reaction should have been to, you know, burn down the city hall or something. Not now, of course. I'm saying 15 years ago, that probably would have been more effective. Although, I don't know. Then it just would have been like, oh my God, these white supremacists, and they would have used that as an excuse to bring in 50,000 more. And do you remember how these Haitians were trapped, quote unquote, trapped under the Eagle Pass near El Paso? And they were there for like weeks until there was that embarrassing image that was posted. This was all under the Biden administration. And the next day, they were all gone. Remember that? We reported on it live at the time, saying, you know, they could clear these people out in a day if they wanted to. They just don't want to. And it went on for weeks. And then finally, something embarrassed the Biden administration, and they were gone. Literally, they were gone the next day. Everything was cleaned up. Everything was packed up. And they were all shipped to Springfield, Ohio. Crazy. So let's go back. So again, 15 years ago, Representative Tom Emmers, supposed Republican, was still falling for the line of multiculturalism, diversity, tolerance, acceptance, the melting pot. The people who were doing this, they knew that they were never going to assimilate. They knew that this was not good for America. This was just an attack. And you can hear, and I listen with inexpressible sadness to the voice of the American patriots who are having their homelands destroyed, just asking politely to be considered in any of this. Just asking if maybe, just maybe, the well-being of the people that actually live there might be a topic of conversation. And you can hear how Tom Emmers himself responded. Let's watch.
It's like, what are you even talking about? If someone's here legally, you don't get a say in whether they come into your city. And he fires a warning shot at the implicit racism here against Somalis, as if to say, don't go further down this road, you guys.
And if you're asking me how I feel about immigrant populations who are in this country legally and who are actually trying to find a better way for themselves and their families, I support it wholeheartedly. I mean, the Germans had the same problem when they came over. The Polish had the problem. The Chinese had the problem.
We have a different problem. They didn't come to subvert the Constitution.
You're not addressing the idea that they're not being assimilated. The other people,
I'm going to tell you, the Somalis, according to the measurements that have been used over time, are some of the fastest assimilating populations that we've had.
Insane.
There are Somalis in the room, too.
I hear all the time the word assimilation. You know, I feel myself assimilated.
I speak English. I have a job. I have a family. I drive the same streets every day, just like you. What's the thing that's missing?
All right, let's pause it right there. Because that's kind of telling, isn't it? The guy who can barely speak English, super heavy accent. In fact, the reporter feels the need to translate what he's saying because he's sort of incomprehensible to a native English speaker. But he's like, we assimilate. I drive on the road you drive. I have a job. It's like, what do you think assimilating means? That's just being a human being. You think you're going to have your own separate roads? Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, every human being uses the roads. That has nothing to do with assimilation. Every human being eats food. Like, what are you talking about? Are you having a cookout, eating pork sausage and, you know, hanging out in your shorts? No, your wives are covered head to toe and they're not allowed to leave the house without permission. You haven't assimilated then. But it's telling because that to him is American culture. He's like, I'm wearing a baseball cap. I drive on the road you drive on. How am I not American? It's almost like more insulting than him actually just hating America. Is his interpretation of what assimilating even means is just all of the most surface level, meaningless accoutrement, the bare liminal appearance of being an American. He's like, good enough. It's like you're so unassimilated, you don't even know that there's something to assimilate into. Assimilation would be genuine, full-fledged adoption of our way of life, our beliefs. You wouldn't be labeled as Somali man in the NPR article, would you? You'd be labeled man. You'd be labeled American man or something like that. But you're not American. You're Somali. And yet, in order to convince us that you're American, which I keep replaying the tweet from Harmless Yard Dog where he's like, imagine debating with a tick on whether or not it has a right to drink your blood. Like that's what, you know, you're a foreigner. You come to America. Now you get to dictate to us what it is to be an American. This is absurd on the face of it. But regardless, his understanding of what it is to be an American is the most basic. And again, sort of like, I mean, I get you just put it in any other, you know, cultural situation, right? Where it's just like, what? I understand what it's like to be a black American. I drink Kool-Aid. It's like, what? That's what you think? Look, I drink Kool-Aid and I watch basketball. I perfectly understand the black American experience. It's like, what? You know, like, can you imagine the amount of like ignorance that would represent on my part? But that's how this guy reacts. I'm just as American as you are. I drive on the same road you are on. I watch football, I guess. I'm American. It's like, okay, do you pray to Allah five times a day? You do. Okay. Do you wear your shoes indoors? Do you eat with your hands? Do you pray to Mecca when you slaughter animals live? Like, you are still culturally, religiously, and nationalistically not American. But they don't even know that because of how demonized and destroyed American culture has become. They literally think it's nothing but it's like Hollywood or whatever. So, sorry, let's go back to the NPR reporting. We'll hear Tom Emmers respond to this outrageous hatred and racism that, by the way, he now completely agrees with and understands. Let's watch.
If you guys have any questions, anything to talk about, come to us. We'll answer all your questions. We will address your fears. But I don't think there's nothing we have to fear in America.
Some people in the room don't buy it. They push back and demand a vote on refugees. Emmer pushes back, too.
I'm going to say it out loud. When you move to a community, as long as you are here legally, I am very sorry, but you don't get to slam the gate behind you and tell nobody else that they're welcome. That's not the way this country works. And if we're going to talk about...
I didn't think it was a problem until somebody I knew really well, because they got upset.
This is Tom Emmer talking about that night
And they said, it sounds like you're telling us you're not listening to us.
We also work hard, and we also pay our taxes, and we also have kids to raise and go to school. And there's a huge economic burden placed on us now. And I think part of the fear that some of you talked about, our fear, is that we don't feel in control of what's happening in our city. It is out of our control. Where is our say on what happens to our schools? I don't know that you heard us. I feel you told us.
And I thought I'd been listening all night. So then I stopped and I said, because then I thought, this is a problem because this person is not that way.
Say what you mean, this person is not that way. What does that mean?
They're reasonable. They listen. They're compassionate. They have definite strong views, right? Their views are much like mine. I've known them for a long time. And this person was clearly frustrated. And so I stopped and I said, I apologize. What is it that you would like your congressman to do?
You're our only chance because...
For what? Think, Sue, what is it that you want? What is it that you want from me?
This is... I think I speak for a lot of people. I think the city of St. Cloud needs a breather. And we need to assimilate with the people
what does that mean?
A break on the influx for a period of time so we could take a little breather and all
your, of a your last statement, though. We could take a little breather. If you guys can just hold on. Say it out loud. Are you suggesting that no more immigrants should be allowed to come to St. Cloud until you have
a moratorium for the whole United States?
The whole United States. All right. All right. Here's the thing. That's all I can do is respond as open and honest as I can, Sue. That's not something that I can do. That's not something that our Constitution says that we do with people who are...
That was the first time
it's
that
so
I think...
It's so crazy. All right, we can go ahead and take it down now. But again, you can hear, you know, sort of his pre-programmed responses where he, like, seems shocked that these people are, like... He's like, but she's not that way. He, like, expects literally anybody against the foreign takeover of their hometown must be a KKK member. And it's like, I don't even get that, because here's these people that you know, that you've interacted with a lot. You know they're not crazy. You know they're not racist or whatever other label you want to put on them. And yet, when they express to you in a perfectly cogent and reasonable and thoughtful way, you know, their opposition to what's going on, he still goes, like, he has to, like, take a second to be like, well, wait, but she's not a KKK member. Why is she saying this? It's like, because it's... true. Like, it's that mindset that, again, I'm glad he's broken out of it. This was 11 years ago that recording was made, but, like, there's still a lot of Republicans, especially, still in that exact same mindset where it's just like, legally, there's nothing we can do. They're legal immigrants. And it's like, so what is the legal process through which they became legal immigrants? Because the whole point of the TPS system, or even the asylum system, is it is a temporary suspension of the law based on extraordinary circumstances. The extraordinary circumstances of this case were an earthquake that happened 16 years ago. Shouldn't even qualify as the extraordinary circumstance to get around the law anyway. But this is the color of the law nonsense that they always get away with, where they can open up the border and flood your country with 10 million people, and there's no barrier and there's no requirement to comport with the previous precedent and law and whatever else. It just happens. And then it is impossible for you to undo it. That's the part that's illegal. Well, but they have, you know, you can't get rid of them. You can't tell them where they can and can't go. They're legal immigrants. It's like, well, what made them legal immigrants? The fact that the Democrats decided they wanted them here. So therefore they're legal immigrants. As ANC Aesthetics puts it, the Biden administration dropped 200,000 third world Haitians into small towns all over the country to try to disenfranchise poor Trump voters. That's ethnic cleansing. In a real country, everyone involved would get the death penalty. You're lucky we're just sending them back. This in response to Kevin M. Olmert decrying the utter disregard for human life, the void of compassion, telling a bunch of Haitian people, go back home, go home to your country. Remember, like, 3 years ago when all the leftists were trying to convince us that thinking Haiti was a shithole country was horrible and that it was a great place, and Conan O'Brien is drinking a mojito I guess they've changed their tune a little bit. He continues, and we know it was deliberate ethnic cleansing because no Haitian knows where the F Springfield, Ohio even is. They were deliberately placed in Trump strongholds in swing states as revenge against Trump voters for the crime of voting for who they want as president. But it goes back farther than that because this happened under Obama. And yes, it was for exactly the same reason. They hated you before you voted for Trump, folks. And yes, they literally, and I've talked about this just any number of times. I don't even know how many times at this point. But the whole point of these programs was to gift congressional districts to these people. Because think about it. If you add the same number of people, but slowly over time, they will assimilate out of necessity. If it's only 10 of them at first, they're going to assimilate because it's 10 people in a town of 100,000. They're going to assimilate. And then if 10 people more come in, they'll assimilate. And you can do this process, you know, bit by bit incrementally, and it could be effective. I don't think you should, and I don't think they'll ever fully assimilate. And I do think there's a racial component to this that is not overlooked by the left doing this on purpose because of the races involved. So there's that aspect. But regardless, you won't have somebody when there's 10 people from Somalia in Ohio. You're not going to get a Somalian going, I'm going to benefit Somalia and getting elected that way because, okay, maybe the 10 Somalians will vote for her, but the 999,990 non-Somalians will be like, what the hell are you talking about? No, I'm not going to vote for you. This only works if you drop in hundreds of thousands of people, give them all citizenship, then they have absolutely no need to even, you know, promote themselves to the non-Somali community. As long as they get that Somali community vote, they're in. Ilhan Omar is a congresswoman because of this program, because Somalis were dropped in a single district for this reason, to vote for her, to get her elected in a way that she doesn't have to even try to appeal to the non-Somalis because they make up just that large of a voting block. And of course, we know that in places like New Zealand, the Indian immigrants there are being blatant about this and are going, we're 20% of the population. We decide who wins the election. Serve us or we won't elect you. Why would we allow these people in? Or, putting it in a more accurate way, why would our rulers force this on us despite our opposition? Because they love us and just, you know, we don't understand how lovely Somalis are and we just have to be taught. No, they stole $100 billion and won't go home now. Everyone involved in this should be hung for treason. That includes Obama and anybody else involved in this. Every single person, yes. Somalis can go home.
In the forbidden mountains of ancient China, Alex Jones, the warrior, returns to complete his training. His fists thunder against globalist lies. Each board he shatters destroys another New World Order deception. Forged in the fire of truth, he trains day and night. Iron palm strikes, smashing through Big Pharma's walls. He prepares for the ultimate demon Fentanyl the Dragon.
Oh, hello, Alex. It is I, Fentanyl the Dragon, your arch nemesis.
Fentanyl, you dare to return and face me?
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
America's worth saving. I seen this country build towns where there was nothing but dust and empty sky. Men worked sun up to sundown, built roads, railways, farms, and cities with their bare hands. People came here with nothing in their pockets and somehow carved out a life worth living. That's what made this place different. Not power, not money, freedom. And as long as there's still a few hard-headed Americans standing tall, America's story ain't over yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel the noose tightening all across America. Fight the enemy before they hang freedom itself.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.